creating your core values is such a big piece because it really gives you guardrails as to who you want to be in relationship with. I think we get into this investment and passive income journey because we want freedom. Freedom isn't just financial, freedom of relationship, freedom to be with people that you know, like, and trust.
Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we share how we have done over $200 million in real estate deals to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. If you're ready to start investing with purpose, visit freefromwallstreet.com. But for now, let's dive into this episode.
Excited to announce our next presenter, Stephen Libman, founder and managing director of Integrity Holdings Group, is located in Bluffton, South Carolina, which is always great. I have family that lives on May River Road in Bluffton, so love it there. Very awesome, exciting, cute little town. And he is going to be presenting on how to create your tribe of like-minded investors. And I am going to turn the floor over to you, Stephen. You can go ahead and turn camera on and do what you need to do.
Thanks, Hannah. I appreciate it. It says I can't start my video yet, so I hope I will be able to here. But yeah, so thank you everybody for jumping on, tuning in. This is a little bit of like the frou-frou side of the business. I saw like the underwriting guy who was talking about underwriting had like 30 people in his room because everybody's psyched about the nuts and bolts. And you know what? It's important stuff, right? The nuts and bolts of this business. But frankly, I think a lot of us are looking to get involved in multifamily real estate, storage, commercial real estate in general, investments, passive income, for the simple reason of creating the life that you want. And that very much is predicated on being able to do business with people that you know, like, and trust, right? So building your tribe, as Seth Godin appropriately defines it in the book Tribes, is simply finding the people that are your people, right? And it might sound super simple, but I think as you create and tell your story to other investors, they become interested in you, they become interested in your story, and if it resonates with them, then they want to be a part of something that's the same, right? We all have that human desire to be accepted, to be a part of a group where we feel loved, known, and trusted, right? And I think that this is a piece that in the beginning, a lot of people overlook because it's like, let me shotgun the world and get on Facebook and social media and tell everybody what it is that I do, right? And I train my salespeople to let them know and capital raise folks that telling our story is not selling, right? And if you read Never Split the Difference, I think it's the best sales book ever written, frankly, and it's written by a FBI hostage negotiator. And he talks about tactical empathy, and he talks about how you really can actively listen and become more empathetic on purpose, right? And I think that as you're building your tribe, telling your story is only half of it. And I think finding out why people want to connect with you and what they're looking for and bridging that gap within your quote sales pitch is super important. So I'm just going to get a little practical in terms of like, okay, so how do you do it? And then I'll explain a little bit about what's working for us and where we have seen the biggest return on time invested with the people that have really helped us grow our entire business. So number one, I think, you know, we tell everybody to start here, which is know thyself, right? Write down and come up with your own set of core values. And I think, you know, we've been doing this for so long that I wanted to make sure I touched on it because it often gets overlooked as how that parlays into finding your tribe. One, if you don't know what your own core values are, how can you find people that are like-minded, right? So writing down your core values is as simple as trying to come up with four or five words that matter to you, right? So our core values are Christ-centered, integrity, accountability, transparency, and growth. So, you know, you can't, and those are the things that we hire, fire, and promote on. So how does that relate to your tribe is you know if those people are aligned with your core values. Now, I get this question a lot. Well, Steve, Christ-centered is one of your core values. That means you only deal with Christians. And what that means for me is I value those other four things, right? Integrity, accountability, transparency, and growth. And I need to treat other people the way that I view a Christian would, right? So the answer is no. We have a ton of investors. Not all of them are of the same religious faith, right? But I want to love people the way that I think that they should and deserve to be loved as a created human being. Two, integrity, accountability, transparency, and growth. How do those parlay into your relationships? Well, if I'm hiring, firing, and promoting and demoting inside of my team based on those core values, stands to reason that I would also put barriers up against those things in my own personal relationships, right? And the investor relationships that we build, right? If somebody says that they're going to do something and they don't let their yes be yes, we just won't, we'll have grace, right? But I'm not looking to create and forge relationships with people that don't have the level of integrity to have their yes be yes. And we try to hold ourselves to the same standard. So knowing thyself, creating your core values, I think is such a big piece of it because it really just gives you guardrails as to who you want to be in relationship with. And getting back to what I said before, I think we get into this investment journey and passive income journey because we want freedom. And freedom isn't just financial, right? Freedom of relationship, freedom to be with people that you know, like, and trust, that that are in your tribe, that adhere to your own core values, right? And don't violate your core values. So I think it's important to start there if you're an investor or an operator and you haven't done this within your own life or your business. Super important, right? My kids know what our core values are. My business partners know what my core values are. And as long as people aren't getting to actively get you to violate your own core values, then they could potentially fit in your tribe. I've recently moved, as Hannah mentioned, down in Bluffton, South Carolina, which is just outside of Hilton Head. I moved from New Jersey about a year and 4 months ago. On a complete whim, by the way. We were on vacation and we decided to buy a house on vacation, went home, sold everything, and then moved down with my family. And I have 8, 4, and 2-year-old kids and a wife of 15 years. And now we have to create a whole new tribe. We had our tribe. I lived in central New Jersey on the shore for 40 years. So I had our people, right? Now we didn't know anybody down here when we moved, literally not a soul. And you have to go and create your own tribe. And how do you do that? You have to get out there. You have to put yourself out there, right? So practical step number two is just try new things. I am not a great golfer, but you're not in the Hilton Head area and not invited to play golf. So guess what? I'm doing some uncomfortable things. I'm getting out, I'm swinging a golf club. And you know what? I have found that me being nervous about how bad of a golfer or good of a golfer I am has absolutely no relation to how people are treating me out on the golf course because they just want to get to know me. And these guys and girls are awesome people that we're meeting and they have a lot of grace for my bad golf game, but they are aligned with our core values in many other places. So I think trying new things is super important, right? Getting out to conferences like this and just sitting behind a computer screen and listening to other people tell you what could be good for you. I mean, that's uncomfortable for a lot of us, right? To mastermind, to get involved in these groups. But frankly, as growth is a core value of ours, that level of growth and that invitation to do new things helps grow you as a human being, right? What is life if not an adventure? So getting out and trying new things, meeting new people is super important to finding your tribe. Attending meetups and masterminds and, you know, that type of thing expands your mindset and expands your network. And when you go out and you meet with people like this and you're kind of new to either an area or to them, I always try to create value first, right? In what way are we creating value? And this is like a guru type term, right? So I want to talk about it tactically, not just like, oh yeah, create value and then you'll find your tribe. What I mean by this is, be a servant leader, right? Be a servant first. Find out who these folks are, what interests them. Ask tactical questions. This is a very practical way to get to know people. And let's just talk about human psychology for a moment. What is people's favorite subject? It's themselves, right? So if you ask questions to people about themselves, you learn a ton. And now you're trying to find out, do they fit in my tribe? And you'll find out very quickly if you ask poignant questions, right? So telling, not selling, is huge when you're going and talking to folks and you're asking a lot of poignant questions about them, their family, their spouse, their kids. People love to talk about their kids and what their interests are, right? So when you get somebody on a roll, you know, when they're just like, they light up because you ask the right question. For men, I think it's often, what do you do? I try to ask different types of questions, like, outside of work? What do you like to do? Amazing what kind of hobbies people have, right? So I think practical is servant leadership in terms of asking questions. Want to serve that person's highest and best good by asking questions about them so that you can learn about them and you can serve them, right? You don't know how to serve somebody until you find out a lot more about them. So I think that's important. Being the first to reach out. I think that this is something that we always try to teach our folks too, is let's be proactive about reaching out to folks. People love letters, notes, text messages just to say hi, Facebook messages just to see what's up. And yes, life is busy, right? So it's easy to say, I'm not going to have time to reach out to that person. And, you know, it shows, right? The effort, and we know how much and how little it takes, the effort really helps people feel valued. And I think that that is all about finding your tribe. If you find the people that value you and you value them, then you probably have a pretty good connection with them. And then going back to knowing yourself, also liking yourself, right? I think that people overwhelmingly are looking for authentic relationships. And if you don't like who you are, you tend to not be authentic. So I think that that's like a deep dive personal thing that everybody has to do, which is find out what you like about yourself, what you don't like about yourself, where you need to grow, where you need to change, and where you can be honest with people about those things. Simple as sitting down, writing down, here's what I like about myself. What don't I like? And you don't even have to go as far as say, what don't I like? But you can say things like, what do I want to change? And those are good indicators as to how you want to grow as a person. Overwhelmingly, I think authenticity is where you find your tribe. People can smell it, right? They can smell the bull crap from a mile away anymore. Social media used to be all about kind of the glitz and glam and fame and fortune. And you have seen that the people that are really starting to take off are just authentic. They're real people. They honor their own name. They understand that you only get one. They try to do the best and grow in front of people that they can. And they're just authentic, right? We like to share our failures, not as much as we probably should, but on social media and around the world, because you're not on an island. You're not the only person that has ever had a failure, right? And I think it's important to celebrate your wins and your losses. When you get kicked in the teeth, I think it's important to share that with people, because that vulnerability is instant connection with people. And I think that the more vulnerable you can be, the more honest that you are, the less stress you would tend to put on yourself, because you know that it's going to be okay either way. It also opens the door for other people to be vulnerable with you and create that quick, instant relationship. And I think that that's super important. So tactically, how does that relate to investors, right? And raising capital. So, and I don't know if Hannah mentioned before, but you know, we've raised about 50 some odd million dollars in the last 3 years or so. We've bought about $200 million worth of property. We're on track to do about another $200 million in acquisitions this year. So we're growing very quickly. And raising all that private capital requires a certain level of trust and authenticity and reaching out and sales tactics and things like that. But there's always something else, right? There's always a reason that people decide to invest with you. And there's always a purpose that aligns and things like that. And we have found that our tribe is overwhelmingly a group of folks that want to create outsized, non-correlated, better than market returns, while also creating significance in their life. So what we do is we have a donor advised fund, which is the heart behind the business. And we are very much focused on moving from success to significance. We think that there's not a shortage of need in the world. And I mean, this is not new, right? There's a lot of philanthropic for-profit companies, Tom's, for example, right? They kind of led the charge. And there's a ton of other companies that are doing good while doing well. And for us, a donor advised fund is simply a vehicle, by the way, to give money to nonprofits around the world. We support a bunch of missions, missionaries, nonprofits. We just helped build a handicapped, accessible ballpark and park up in Toms River, New Jersey, which has been incredible. That just recently launched. And I think we're currently supporting between 16 and 20 nonprofits on an annual basis with monthly gifts through the business. And that is not affecting our partners' returns. That comes from our business. And that's really the heart behind the business. I actually have one of our full-time employees that works about 20 hours a week talking to donor advised fund, talking to our nonprofits, trying to figure out where their most significant need is and how we can fulfill it and when, based on our acquisitions and cash flow and timelines and things like that. And we did that for us, right? That was a core value and a goal for us as a company. And what I have found is that the more we tell that story, the more people say, hey, I love what you're doing. Right? Cool. We like the commercial real estate aspect. We like the tax benefits aspect of it. But man, do we really like what you guys are doing in terms of giving back? And I think my aunt, uncle, brother, sister, pastor, whoever would like to invest with you guys too because of where your heart is. And that's the crux of this, right? How do you find your tribe? And really, it was just being true to ourselves and not using that as a sales pitch. We've been doing that for years, but didn't really start talking about it until I started thinking that people wanted to hear about it. Like it wasn't part of the marketing material because that's not why you should invest with us. But it turns out that it is why a lot of people invest with us. And it's because they believe in what we're doing. They believe in the organizations that we're supporting and they resonate with that. So they know that there's a lot of operators out there, right? And they can go make certain level of returns with a lot of folks. And we encourage them to go and find their tribe too. When people call us, they say, here's who I am as an investor. Here's what I'm looking for. And I just ask them out of the gate, like, okay, so what would differentiate you from investing with me or somebody else? Like, what is it that you look for? And you start to hear the non-tangibles, right? Not the track record, not the average IRR through the course of a 20-year period. But, well, I really like to do this. I like to travel and I like to spend time with my family and we do this and that. And awesome. So you're learning about them. And then it's like, well, this is actually what would make me commit to you as an operator versus somebody else. And you'll typically hear a follow-up to that, that are core values, right? I like open, honest communication. Oh, awesome. Why is that important to you? And let me tell you why it's important to me. And this is how we do that within our platform, right? Well, the thing that really would make me choose you guys over somebody else is this. We want to know about the good and the bad. Cool. So transparency is a core value for you. Here's how it aligns with us too. And I think the more you talk about your core values, the more you talk about what is on your heart as a business owner and why you do what you do. And for a lot of us, I think it's family, right? I would encourage you that if you say that your why is family, to do the seven layers of why. And it's like, well, my why is my family. Well, why? Well, I want to spend more time with them. Why? Right? You do that seven times and you'll actually get to the root cause of what your core value looks like and why you're doing what you're doing. And then share that with people. Share that until you're blue in the face, because those core values and the reason why that drive you will drive them. They will attach themselves to you, or they won't, right? And that's okay too. If they want to go find somebody else, that's fine. The easiest way to create your tribe and the easiest way to get people that resonate with you is to share who you are over and over and over again. And what's interesting about this business is if you're taking $100,000 investments from people, you don't need half of the United States to join you, right? You need 1,000 people to raise, what's that, $100 million fund? I mean, it's not a ton of people that need to be in your tribe, right? So it's really repeating who you are over and over again, repeating those core values and then walking them out and then finding other people. You guys know, right? Like you tend to hang out with people that you know, like, and trust. Well, so do they, right? So if they are becoming part of your tribe, then they probably know people that should be a part of your tribe as well. So I hope that this isn't too kind of not practical. And I hope you guys are finding some value from it, because honestly, it has changed just how we do everything in our business. It's changed how we create marketing material. It's how we talk about the business. It's the organizations that we support. It is the updates. I mean, we give quarterly updates on all of our portfolios. It's very little about the financials, right? We're like, here's the pro forma, here's the actuals, here's where we're off, here's why, here's our capex that we spent. Good, great, grand, wonderful. The next, you know, three or four paragraphs is all about who we are supporting, what they are doing, right? The girls that are getting saved from sex trafficking, the wells that we're digging in Western Kenya, the things that we are doing for our why that is, you know, related to the business, of course, but that's what I think people want to see too. They want to see a combination of those. So as we continue to talk about it, the people that are coming to invest with us are, you know, philanthropists at heart. They want to, again, move from success to significance, but there's effort that needs to go into that, right? So like, if they can say, I want to get good returns and make an impact, and I don't have to do all the work, and we can take that away from them, then we made it easy to say yes. And I think that's an important piece of finding your tribe too, is make it easy for people to say yes, whether that's investors, whether that's other sponsors that you're working with, whether that's people that are raising capital for you. As much as you can distill down the process to make it easy to say yes to you as a person and to you as a company, then I think you have really started down the road of how to create that tribe and how to create those long-lasting relationships. I mean, the people that invest with us are partners, right? Essentially, they're partners in the deals that we do. They're partners in the good work that we're doing. And we want to let them know how much they are honored and how much we appreciate them by not just sending out the monthly checks and the quarterly reports and all that stuff, but also letting them know how their money is going to impact the world for, you know, a period of time that they're investing with us. So hopefully that is helpful. I only had about 25, 30 minutes to go through kind of what I thought it meant to create a tribe. So I'm happy to take some questions. I don't know, Hannah, if you have like a Q&A set up or anything like that, but happy to be kind of an open book about what it is that we have found is working with the investors, the investor communications, things like that.
Yeah, let me check and see what's going on the Hoover app. Just kind of as a follow-up to that, I think you touched on a lot of things as far as handling those relationships for those people that may not meet, you know, your values. How do you approach that situation? You know, if you think it's not a good fit and they think it is, kind of how does that conversation look like for you?
Yeah. So it's gotten easier over time, but it's a difficult conversation, right? Because nobody wants to have it. So I would say, like, if your values aren't aligned, the easiest thing to do is to be transparent, right? About why they don't align and why you don't feel like it does. And maybe they have a reason, right? And it's as simple as just saying, hey, I appreciate that. It's just not going to be a fit for me right now, and kind of leave it at that. I mean, I think we have a distinct need to be liked by other people. So if we feel like there's not a good fit or a good connection with our core values, it's not to denigrate them, right? It's not to say, hey, you know, this is something that happened and we just don't like each other anymore. It's, hey, this is how I live my life, and just being transparent about that and saying, hey, this is where, these are the things that are important to me, and I feel like it's not going that direction. So I wish you all the best. I have many referrals that I could give you to go send you wherever, right? And whether that's somebody that's just a personal relationship or just somebody in a mastermind or anything like that. And just be honest with them about yourself, right? And that authenticity, I think, speaks volumes. Even if they don't like it, they'll respect it.
Yeah. I'll turn this back on. I haven't seen any questions coming in. This will be recorded and sent out to everyone. So I don't know if you want to leave anyone with any last thoughts, or if not, I know you touched on really everything, and I think I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. It's not even just in companies, but relationships, everything. And you see that as you grow, like even as you just get older, it's like, okay, well, I'm not in that same core value as I was back then. And now I'm kind of constantly on an evolving spectrum. So I think it definitely hits home in a lot more places than just storage investing.
Yeah, no, of course. And I mean, all of these business principles are predicated on some kind of personal relationship, right? And I think it's important to recognize that it's okay to outgrow people. Sometimes that's really hard because we love people, but sometimes you outgrow them, right? And sometimes they outgrow you. And for a time and a season, that relationship exists for maybe a reason. And I think that the more you're honest with yourself about who you are and who you want to become, then it's easier to find that tribe of people that agree with you. And I'm not, but as a caveat to this entire speech, I hope that it's not coming across that we're trying to create echo chambers, because we're not, right? I think it's important to recognize that people are different than us. And, you know, core value violations are literally things that are non-negotiables for you. So these aren't things that are, That rubbed me the wrong way. So I just don't want to be friends with you, right? Like, we don't quit people very easy. It's really a core value violation in so much that it's a non-negotiable for you and your family and your company and whatever. And that's like the extreme, right? So I think it's important to make sure that when you're writing down core values, it's not like, oh, I want people to be funny. Well, that's subjective, right? It's core value violation, meaning like I cannot deal with somebody lying to my face, right? Yeah. Like, so just making sure that when you're writing down your core values that, you know, you're going a little bit deeper and trying to understand why those things would be a non-negotiable for you and why a violation of those would be an immediate hiring, firing, or promotion. Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, you know, you walk into a store or a business and they've got their sign, it's got the core values or their beliefs, and it's just a couple words, you know, that's kind of how we were raised. So I think that's really good advice in a sense of digging a little bit deeper instead of just saying honesty or respect, like something like that. I think the more specific you can get with people, the better they're going to understand. Because nowadays, you know, you have to walk it out. Or you have to tell them, you really have to spell it out. So I think that's great. And it's great advice. And I think it's something that it could go a lot further with, you know, the success of a company. So I think that's great. Well, we appreciate you being here today, taking some time out of your day. I know everybody's busy. But again, we appreciate it. And I'm going to let you sign off. We will say some words here before we turn it back over to the next presenter.
Awesome. Thank you, Hannah. Appreciate
it. Of course.
Thanks for listening to the Free from Wall Street podcast. If you like what you hear, leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think.